All right, we're in this mini course on the Serenity Prayer, and you've stuck with it through all these sessions. I hope it's been helpful to you. Remember, we have ways that the Serenity Prayer can be taken with you through the day. I especially like this one. It's right there. People can read the words. If you went into a public place, people right away would see this. I mean, you can't miss it, right? You can see the Serenity in big words right there. And my guess is if you went somewhere, somebody at your table or at your desk or wherever you are, somebody's going to say something about this. And then you have an opportunity. And it's interesting, if you just hand them the cup, say, here, look it over, which phrase here catches your eye? And they will gravitate to the thing that they're going through. That's a great way to engage in the conversation, because you could try to guess, the tack that you would take in sharing your faith with somebody, or you can let them decide. What end of the situation are you? And you can decide where we're going to launch into a discussion of God and prayer and trusting and difficulties and coming to faith, all these things. You decide what you want to talk about. All right, so we have the last part of the Serenity Prayer here. Phrase 8, that I may be reasonably happy. So I'm trusting God. I'm relying on Him. I'm accepting the things that I can't change. I'm doing something about the things that I can. But in the end, this is sort of the conclusion of the matter, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. I like that phrase, that I may be reasonably happy in this life. One mistake that people make is thinking that heaven is on earth. They're trying to make heaven on earth, and you'll always be disappointed, because earth is not heaven. The old song, this place is not our home. We're just a passing through. And we get glimpses of heaven. We get glimpses of the eternal joy that God has for us. But this world is like our time to work. That God, God sent His Son into the world to die on the cross, to pay for sins, to pave a way for people to come back into a relationship with God. That's the mission that we're engaged in right now on the planet. And it's a difficult one. We're in the middle of a battle. Good versus evil. Light versus darkness. Now, in the middle of all that battle, we can be reasonably happy. God still wants joy for us, but that's not the main event. The happiness part is the heaven part. Right now, we got to work hard. But that doesn't mean we can't be reasonably happy. So I like that. It's not saying that we shouldn't be happy and we shouldn't pursue happiness. But there's something deeper, okay, about this kind of happiness. Proverbs 5:18. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Okay? Now, but I like this because, it centers on that we can have happiness. But notice it says the wife of your youth. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm rejoicing in the wife only when she's young. But the reference does hearken back to when things were, I don't know, as I reflect back, maybe they weren't better, but I think about that. I think, when I was first meeting my wife and how much in love we were and how we wanted to spend every minute together and she was at the foremost of my thoughts. Now, is that true today? I mean, yes and no. There's something special about, young love, about being young at all. There's something hopeful about it. Now my back hurts, I'm older. My eyesight isn't good. So that there's joy still, but there isn't that joy of one's youth. And I think, again, youth is a picture of what is yet to come. We get a taste of it, but it's not the whole thing. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 13. I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift from God. So God wants joy for our lives. Ecclesiastes 11, 9. You who are young, be happy while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. Okay, so this is real optimistic about when you're young, and you know, when you're young and you're trying things. Maybe you're young and you're taking these classes, and it's like you could become anything. Yeah, I just retired from a church not too long ago, so I'm at the end of that career. But some of you are at the beginning. You have all these possibilities, and you have no idea what God is going to do with you, or what you're going to do. Are you going to plant a church? Are you going to become a pastor? Are you going to become a Bible study leader? Are you going to get married and have 10 children? Who knows? You know, you have all this stuff in front of you, and you get to try things. Like, you have enough time to try this, and maybe that doesn't work out, so you try something else. I don't have as much life to try this and to try that. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you the joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, whatever your eyes see. But then this. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So, yes, you know, youth is a time to try things, experiment with things, but it's not a time to be a sinful, selfish person. If you do that, then you'll reap the rewards of that. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. So that verse is looking forward to what will one day be, but it's also saying something about what is. And what is can perish, can spoil, can fade. Now, we have an inheritance that doesn't do any of these things. And that's coming, but right now, what we experience, those things do fade. And so, we experience the goodness of God now, yes. But it's, you know, I like how this Serenity Prayer puts it. Let's go back to that. That I may be reasonably happy in this life, okay? We can be reasonably happy in this life. You can be. And maybe some of you haven't experienced that. And that is the hope of the Christian life. That is the hope that's still ahead of you, that you can be reasonably happy in your marriage, that you can be reasonably happy in the work that you do in the church, that you can be reasonably happy as a parent, that you can be reasonably happy in the friendship circles that you have. But that's not everything. And supremely happy with Him forever in the next. In some ways, maybe we don't talk about heaven enough. We live in a world where we're trying to make heaven on this earth. But we'll always be disappointed. But there is this thing called heaven. There is something ahead of us. Okay, so carrying on from 1 Peter. So let me just pick it up where I said, "In this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice." Okay, you rejoice now. That's a happiness that you have now. "Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer a grief of all kinds of trial." Okay, there's happiness, but there's also suffering and trials and difficulties. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So there is joy now, but it's done through difficulties. That's the relevance of the Serenity Prayer. It's not just pie in the sky. It's not just, you know, well, everything is wonderful. No, life can be difficult. And that's why I think that it's such a ministry opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to be reminded that life is difficult, but even in the difficultness of it, there's a hope, there's a positive, there's a joy. But it's also an incredible ministry tool. People want joy in their life. They want it now, and they have this sense that there has to be something more. Even in your best experiences, the best time you ever had in your life, it could be more. And I think people have this sense, or this desire, that there's more to life than what they're experiencing. All that stuff is right here. All that stuff is ready to be discussed with someone. And people want to discuss it. They just need an excuse. So the Serenity Prayer can be that excuse. All right. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy that you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So there's this verse really is, you know, reiterates the Serenity Prayer, that there is joy now. In fact, there's inexpressible and glorious joy now. But it's because of what we have, because of the inheritance that Christ has won for us on the cross. Well, I hope that you enjoyed this class on the Serenity Prayer written by Reinhold Niebuhr so many years ago. People in the AA world have used this, and it has blessed so many people. In my church in Vancouver, I had like 50 participants in the AA program coming to my church, and I was invited to many of their meetings to be a part of it and witness their testimonies. And it was always a powerful moment when people stood up, and some of these people believed in God and some of them people didn't, but we would pray this Serenity Prayer, and it was a powerful thing in their lives. And I think it can be a powerful thing in your life too, not only your life, but in the lives of the people around you. Use the Serenity Prayer for your life, but also as a witnessing ministry tool. So I'm thankful that you could be a part of it. Check out our website to see if there's any of these Serenity products that you'd like to use as a reminder for yourself and for others. And thank you for being a part of this.